Good morning, church.
Likai.
It is a great joy once again to be with you in the house of the Lord to worship God together. We are continuing on our study in the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 4. Let me say we are really blessed to see those who come here for the first time today. Please note that the way we preach in our church, we go through a book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We are aiming to find out exactly what is it that Jesus is communicating with us. So you can see today we will read from Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to verse
11.
Then next week we'll look at verse 11 only. Which means this week we're only concentrating in verse 8 to 10. We are looking at the third temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we shall read then together, first from the Soto, then I will read from the English from verse 8 to verse 11.
Tla bala pele ka Soto, go tla ho verse 8 fihlela ho 11.
Ape di abolotse amunka amisa tabeng e telele haadi, amunka mibiso yote ya lefatshe le maruo a yona. Are yena tena tsohle ke tla ofa tsona ha ka ikiela fatshe wa khumamela empa Jesu a re yena so ha satane ho ngotse ho thwe o tla khumamela morena modimo wa hao o sebeletse yena a nnoti fele diabolosi a mutlohela mme bonang manyoloi a atamela a mosebeletse.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth in our hearts. We have seen Jesus humbling himself, coming to be baptized by John the Baptist, to identify with us as sinners. The heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove and coming upon him.
And
behold, the voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." After that, we have seen that the very same Spirit of God then led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil,
Satan,
the tempter,
Muligi,
the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people, the enemy of all that is upright and good and righteous before God. The enemy of the church. But above all, we came to see Jesus, the only Son of God, the only man to overcome temptation, as he uses the word of God to combat the devil, to stand his ground, to be qualified as one tested as we are, yet without sin, so that he may sympathize with our weakness. In the first temptation, Jesus obeyed the word of God. Remember, Satan said, "Turn the stones and make them bread that you may eat." Jesus refused. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So he obeyed the word of God.
Jesus
applied the word of God in his own life. He applied the word of God in his own situation, in his own circumstance. We have seen him as the second Adam who will not be misled by the devil. The true Israel who would rather be hungry than disobeying God. Our prophet who will speak the word of God to us, his children. Our perfect representative. The man who teach us to put God first. I will not break the fast and listen to the devil, but I will listen to my God. The man who put God first. He put God first. In lack, in want, in hunger. Remember that God is the one who led him to the wilderness. He didn't just stumble to the wilderness. God led him there. So it is God's power that can only take him out of the wilderness. So he puts everything unto God. In the second temptation, Jesus' trust on the word of God was tested. And God's faithfulness to his son was also tested. They will see Satan aiming to mislead Jesus. We see Satan there trying to contradict the word of God, which is exactly what he's doing today to believers and everyone else. Contradicting the word of God. But we realize that God is faithful, God is kind, God cares about his people. His word is trustworthy. So we can put our trust, we can put our future in the hands of God. Because at the right time, God will vindicate his people. So this morning here in verses 8 to 10, it becomes clearer that the devil actually dishonors God. In his arrogance, he suggests that Jesus should worship him instead of giving glory and giving honor to God who has created the heavens and the earth. Friends, I want you to notice that this temptation is the one which now brings anger to the Lord Jesus Christ. This temptation is that which provokes Jesus to anger. In the other two temptations, Jesus only quoted the word of God. But this is something of anger in this temptation. It begins with an outburst. Begone, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. Why would he say these things? Because Satan now has crossed the line that should never be crossed. Suggesting that the Creator should worship the creature. He was so kind and gentle with him. But now his behavior to him was intolerable. We see in the Bible that Satan took him to a very high mountain. Matthew does not tell us which mountain it was. It does not tell us how they got there. That is not Matthew's aim. Matthew's aim here is that we may be able to behold the man, to behold Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and overcame Satan and all his temptations. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. He wants us to understand the nature of this temptation. He wants us to understand the significance of this temptation to those who are Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He wants us to be aware of Satan's attack on the glory of God. So the first thing we shall look at in order to understand what is happening right here is found in verse number 9. First, we need to look at Satan's offer to Jesus. Satan's offer to Jesus. In verse number 9, Satan offers Jesus the kingdoms of this world. You see, my friends, sometimes people can make you an offer you cannot refuse. Perhaps something you have been working hard to achieve in life. Perhaps something that will immediately set you up for good in life. Something that you have desired for a long time in your life. That is what
you
see. Satan also thinks that he can make Jesus an offer that he cannot refuse.
Bible
tells us that he puts him in a very high mountain. What he's doing in a very high mountain, he's showing him the kingdoms of this world. Not just the kingdoms of the world, but the glories, the splendor, the beauty, the mighty of the kingdoms of this world.
Then
he says, in verse number 9, all this I will give to you if you will worship, if you will bow down before me. Remember, church, Jesus will suffer and die at the hands of sinners so that he may obtain all authority, all power unto his hands. But he will die for that. But now Satan suggests that Jesus doesn't have to be pierced on his side. He does not have to be crushed by God and be rejected by men. He gives him a better way, as it seems. Jesus doesn't have to be scorned. He can get the power and the authority without a drop of sweat. Without risking his life. If he will just bow down and worship him. So Satan is trying to manipulate the Lord Jesus Christ. He's suggesting that it will be better to take the easy way. And this easy way, according to Satan, it leads to the same achievements. Kingdom authority. So God has set up a way for Jesus, has set up a way for you. Because the idea is that everything will just lead to glory. Doesn't matter which way you take. At the end of the day, you receive the power and the authority. And you can see that Satan does not give up. This is regardless of the fact that Jesus Christ defeated Satan twice in a row. But Satan also claims now to have authority. He says, actually, he is a king, and he has a kingdom, and his kingdom or kingdoms are more glorious than the kingdom that Jesus Christ will achieve. He claims to be in charge, my friends. In charge of the earthly kingdoms. But guess what? He's right. He's in charge of the earthly kingdoms. Because if that was not so, then the temptation does not make sense. So he has to offer something that is there. You cannot offer Jesus something that is not there, because Jesus is all knowing. He knows everything that is there and something that is not there. So
Satan offers what is
there. He is in charge of the kingdoms of the air. Listen to Jesus in John 12:31. Just listen carefully what Jesus says here. He's about to be crucified. But this is how he looks at his crucifixion. This is Jesus' perspective on his own crucifixion. He says, now the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. What is very important here for now is the fact that Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world. And he says only he will be able to cast him out. Next week we'll deal about that one. If this thing of casting out the devil. But Jesus here claimed that him alone is able to cast out the devil, but only the ruler of this world. That is what is important right now. The Apostle Paul writes in the epistle to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Open there.
2 Corinthians 4:4.
Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about Satan. So the Apostle Paul is viewing Satan as the god of his world, who has blinded the eyes and the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ.
So
the devil is the ruler, and now he's claiming to be willing to give all those kingdoms to
Jesus.
Why would he make such a promise, Bazalwane? Simply because Jesus Christ has proven himself to be a man who relies on promises.
Just
like we rely on promises, but God. Jesus Christ relies on God's promises. He has proven to depend on the word of God. But now the devil himself makes a promise to him. You rely on promises. I can also make promises. To make this promise to Jesus Christ. All this I will give it to you. What is this, all this? The kingdoms of this world, the text tells us. The beauty of the world. The pleasures of this life. I will give it to you. You will own it. Oh, what a promise, my friends. What an interesting offer, my friends. Satan speaks of the things that Jesus can see with his naked eyes. You need to pay careful attention. He is offering the things that he will see with his own naked eyes. He's hoping to lead Jesus to a desire of this world, to a desire of worldliness. In the last, or to the last of the eyes. He thinks that Jesus is like every man out there who will not pass the force. Please note, it is because Satan knows That by nature people are moved by what they see. It's very rare that people will buy something they have not seen. You bought clothes very of late. You had to go there. Even though the clothes were of a good size to you, but you wanted to see yourself in the mirror how you look. You want to see how you look. It's important. The things that we see to us are important. You cannot offer me something I cannot see. But the devil is using the very tactic that he used in the Garden of Eden. He showed Eve the tree. And then Eve began to like what she saw. So it is by nature that men are moved by what they see. That is why then he moves Jesus to a very high mountain so that he may be able to see. Perhaps he will like what he sees and then he will claim for himself. Satan offers something that attracts men's desire. It attracts men's heart. Beauty, authority, and dominion. Many people these days will do whatever it takes to have power, authority, and dominion. That is why they build. That is why they build their own kingdoms in this world. Because we love the places of exaltations and kingship. Thinking that everything will satisfy our deep longing of our hearts. Satan here suggests that these things, the things of the world, brings value to life. He suggests that the things of this world are what life is worth living for. He showed Eve the tree. Eve was captured by what she saw. She was fascinated by what she saw. And immediately she then decided to think that what she saw she deserved. What she saw was good to have. But guess what? Not everything that you see is good for you. Not everything that you see is good for you. Not everything that is offered to you is good for your soul. Not everything that seems in your eyes to be a blessing is actually a blessing. Look at the thing that Satan is bringing in verse number 9. He says, I will give you the kingdoms. So according to Satan, Jesus will have the kingdoms. But here's the trick. Satan will be in charge. Satan will have authority over Jesus. If I hire you today and make you in charge of my company, who do you report to?
Why now report to whom?
Who's your boss?
Kimang boss ya how?
The one who gave you the job.
Kio ofile mosebenzi.
That is what Satan is doing here.
Kena
but
he won't
see it. He says, "Take, I give it to you." But now he's in charge. So he's trying to be in charge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as he's always trying to be in charge of your own life. This makes this temptation to be very dangerous. Because this temptation will separate and make enmity between the father and his son.
It
will create enmity between them.
That
is why, my friends, you need to see and check very well how you make your own decisions and how you make your choices.
Does
your decisions and your choices and not your choices separate you from God? Will the things that you want to achieve not make you be in enmity with God? Will it not be a stumbling block for
you?
That is what the devil is aiming to do.
He's
offering Jesus all these things, acting as if your possible future in this world is bright. If you can just take this, you'll have a great future. But guess what? If it comes from the devil, you are bound to be doomed. Everything that comes from the devil, it comes with a price.
So price.
Which is why Satan here offers Jesus a shortcut to victory.
Shortcut.
He doesn't have to go to the cross. Victory without suffering. Victory without satisfying the holy wrath of God. Satan is offering Jesus Christ a shortcut that bypasses the cross. A shortcut that robs God of his glory. Because God will receive glory by the work of the cross. But the devil doesn't want Jesus to go to the cross. He doesn't want Jesus to die for you.
He doesn't want to
remain in your sin
and enmity
with God. Jesus says no. I know what I have come to do. Because now Satan wants Jesus to forget his mission, but to take on a new mission, the devil's mission. He must build his future on sinking sand. That is why if you are sitting right now here and you have built your future outside Jesus Christ, when it's all being said and done, you will find yourself in a very, very horrible place. The question is, my friends, where have you built your future? Can the beauty of this world outshine the glory that awaits those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you sell your life for just a moment of joy? Joy that will soon pass away like a vapor in the wind. Will you pursue to gain the things of this world and lose your soul? Will you take Satan's offer and forget God's promises? But secondly, we see then that this offer comes with a stipulation. He's offering him the kingdoms, but there's a stipulation. There's a condition. So what we see secondly is Satan's demand to Jesus. In verse number 9, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Look at that pronoun. If. That's the condition. The if emphasizes what comes next. If you will just do this, there's a stipulation. You must do something for me. And here the stipulation is worship. So Satan demands worship from the Lord Jesus Christ.
He
offers Jesus an inheritance in exchange of worship. He demands that which belongs to God alone. Worship belongs to God. He cannot stand the fact that God alone is glorified. He cannot stand the fact that all heavens declares the glory of God. He cannot stand the fact that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That is what God wants us to be. To say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to your cross, O Christ, I cling.
But
Satan says no. Worship me. When you look at verse number 9, it is obvious that Satan knows what worship ought to be, my friends. You need to fall down and worship me. You need to bow before me. You need to display a sense of respect, a sense of honor, a sense of reverence to me.
And
this is big, my friends. Look at this. Satan does not want to be like God. If that's what you think, you're thinking it wrong.
No,
he doesn't want to be like God. It's not enough to be like God. He wants to be God. That's what you want, not to be like God. He wants to be God. He wants to be worshipped. He wants you to delight only in Him. He wants you to find Him as your source of happiness. He does not want you to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He does not want you to have God as the only object of your affection. But Him, in His ignorance, He demands that the Creator worship the creature. Exactly how He's dealing today. That we may worship the things rather than the one who gives the things. So He demands worship. And this demand, my friend, is not just dishonoring to God. This demand is actually blasphemous to God. He wants to stand tall to tall with God. He wants to be viewed in the same way that the Creator of heaven and earth is considered in this world. The problem here, Satan thinks that since he is given the kingdoms to run, he is God. Is it not that the same foolishness we have these days? The fact that you have something that I don't have, then you think you are superior and better than me. That is what is happening, and that is the spirit of the devil.
It is
operating in the churches, my friends. Not just in the world. We want to look. Unless you are wearing nice shoes like mine, then you are not important. No, my friends. It is not what you have.
Are you a child?
Yes. You are suffering. Yes. You are in pain. But have you put your trust and your future in the hands of God?
Yes,
you have everything. But you put your trust and your future in the hands of God. That is the problem. The foolishness of this world. Satan wants you to see the things that are below than the things that are above. He wants you to pursue the happiness of this world than the glory that is set before us. He says to Jesus,
"We
are not a king. We are not king enough. I can make you a better king." And my friend, maybe that is what he's whispering on your ears. Maybe he's saying to you, "You know what? You don't have to suffer like this. You know what? You can still, everybody's doing it. You know what, you can have a girlfriend, you can have your boyfriend.
Of
course, you will understand. You don't have to suffer like this. You don't have to be hungry in the wilderness, oh Jesus. You don't have to be so lonely. There's so many people to partner with out there. God loves you. We are born to rule. We are born to have dominion. We are born to take over. We are born to overcome your giants in this life. Just stand up, rise and shine. Claim it and have it. It is yours today. This year is your year of your victory. There's a problem, my friends. When all those things are pursued, then the worship of God is turned to nothing but a joke. That is the problem. When all that is pursued, then God's worship is taken away. People are no longer be found in the worship of God. People are no longer be found in the church. The only time you find them in the church is when they are coming for more. They want to be blessed again. See, my friend, there is nothing wrong about being blessed. But if those things moves your heart and takes you away from the path of righteousness, that's where the problem is. If those things separate you from God, here's the kingdom's take. That's what he's saying. But that separates Christ from God. That we may learn from this temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you do not listen to this, you will continue in your sin. Then you will have all the verses to justify your sin.
But
when it's all being said and done, you will find yourself in hell, in a place of grinding and snatching of teeth, where the worm dieth not. Friends, Satan demands worship because he knows that the God of heaven will not share his glory with someone else. He is a jealous God. You cannot then have Satan's blessing and continue to worship God. Please take note. You cannot also have the blessing of God and continue to listen to the devil. You cannot continue to live like a demon. You cannot continue to live in total disobedience to God. So be careful of Satan's demands. He demands worship. He demands that which belongs to God. So how did Jesus deal with this? That is our third point and our last point. There we see Jesus' rebuke to Satan. That is our third point. Jesus' rebuke to Satan. In verse 10, he says, "Be gone, Satan." You see, Jesus does not question the authority of Satan to give him the kingdoms of this world. Satan's authority is not the problem in these verses. Satan can have all the kingdoms and all the authorities. That is not the problem of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the problem. Satan violates the first commandment, which says you shall not have any other God except
me.
That is the problem. That is what makes Jesus angry. Not for the fact that Satan claims to have dominion and authority. No! What makes Jesus angry? Breaking the law of God. Jesus, in this then, he reveals the uniqueness of God, my friends. God is unique. Only God deserves to be worshipped. He reveals the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at the same time.
Why am I saying that?
You cannot stay or sit in your own little corner worshipping your idols and everything else that you worship.
You can't
claim that you are doing that because God has not revealed himself to you.
He's everywhere.
Look around. Who made that
thing?
Who made that
peace?
Then you know that there is God in heaven. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's sovereign God. He runs and rules the world with power. And you shall worship only him. In other words, Jesus is saying, you dare not look down on the law of God. You dare not steal the worship of God. You dare not attribute the worship of God to something else or to someone else. You dare not exchange that which is sacred and eternal for the things of this world. Worship belongs to God and God alone. True worship reveals that we worship God for who he is. Not what we need to receive. That is the problem. We don't worship for the things to receive. We worship for what we have already received. Christ Jesus, the gift of life, salvation,
eternal
life, future glory. Yes, let us suit, man.
Amen.
Hi. Hallelujah, Bazalwane.
Amen.
That is the problem here. You then not exchange that which belongs to God. That which is eternal for what is futile. So the question is not, if I go to church this morning, if I go to worship, what is it that I will receive?
No.
No. If I go to church this morning, will I hear the word of God? Will I delight in the life of Christ? Will I be satisfied this morning in the word of God? We worship God for all that he has done for us. Snatching us from the garbage of sin. Delivering us from the captivity of Satan and the bonds of sin. And seated us up next to him on his right hand side in the heavenly places. Friends, if we lose that concept that we worship God for who he is, then we will just be like everyone else who attend the worship of God into entertainment. Well, let's be quickly. Jesus then he reveals the reason why he rebukes the devil. You remember he said, "Be gone." So he reveals the reason. What is the reason? You shall not worship any other god. You shall worship God alone. So he says in verse number 10, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, him alone shall you serve. He quotes from Deuteronomy 6 verse 13. That is very important. There, Israel was about to enter the promised land. They were about to inherit the city. They were about to inherit the glory, the splendor, the beauty of the city, the land of milk and honey. They are about to be rejoicing because God has given them deliverance. But God wants them. When you get there, don't let the happiness of that place entangle you. They were warned. God is warning them not to inherit the gods. You have protected those cities. They need to go there and trust God. They need to go there and serve God. They need to go there and worship God alone. They must put their trust in God. They must refuse to attribute the power and worship to false gods. Why? Because they have a covenant with the true and the living God, and only Him deserves to be worshipped. So he rebuked the devil. Gone, Satan. Get away from me. God alone is the object of my affection. I delight only in Him. My heart is set to focus only in Him. I will commit my life only in Him. And I will do this without an expectation of receiving anything. Whether I'm poor, whether I'm rich, whether I'm sick, I'll worship the Lord without expecting anything in return. So Jesus is teaching us here, my friend. We worship God alone because He is the Creator. God alone is the audience, is the consumer of our worship. So if we worship God, the one we are doing it for is God. The one who must find delight is God. We are not doing it for you, for you. We are not doing it for me. We are doing it for God. God must be happy as He look at His children worshiping Him. That's why we need to worship in order. Because we worship a God of order. God alone sets the standard. God alone rejects or accepts the worship. So Jesus Christ says, I will not be a slave of sin, I will be a slave of God. I will worship God. I will utilize my strength and my power to serve God. Whether I eat or I drink, whatever I will do for the glory of God. So you can say this morning, my friend, do not offer me the world and its pleasures. God has already given me something very beautiful, something that is eternal. God has given me the love of His Son. God has given me the cross of salvation. God has given me eternal life and the beauty and the splendor of heaven. A place of gold, where the sun and the moon will not be needed, but God's glory will shine. In that place, where He will wipe away our tears. Let me ask the question. Do you want to be there? Do you want to be there? Or you want to remain here and have the kingdoms of this world? Do you long to be with Jesus? Now for tomorrow. Jesus
use the word of God to overcome the devil. We need the word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is our weapon of mass destruction. We don't have the word, we'll be lost. We'll find ourselves sinking and sinking to rise no more. The word of God. Jesus reveals then that Satan's offer is not attached to eternal life, my friend. Satan's offer is not attached to eternal blessing. When all is said and done, it will be lost. But those who build themselves or found themselves in Jesus, they will live forever. Christ Jesus says, though you die, yet you shall live. If you may come to him, you may give him glory. So my friends, you might assume this morning that doesn't actually count for you. You might assume you are not tempted to build your own golden calf and worship it. You might assume that you do not worship the devil. Perhaps that's what you think. But have you examined your life? Because through examination, however, it reveals that your priorities says a lot. Where is your priority this morning? Where is your priority? Is God number one? Is he in the center of your life? Are you committed to him? So you need to reject Satan's offer, my friends. You need to be enraged with Satan's demand of worship. You need to be reminded that you shall worship the Lord your God alone, and only him you shall save. You need to rely on the word of God and nothing else but the word of God. May the good Lord bless you. May his word sink in our hearts and our minds. May it bring a new life unto us. A new understanding. Blessings. And the glory to come. Let's pray.
We thank you, O Lord, for your words. We thank you, O Lord, because you are the only one who is worthy of our praise, of our worship. Because you, O Lord, are sovereign above all. There is none like you. There's none you can be compared to, O Lord. So we thank you, O Lord, that you have opened our eyes, that we may see that it really is you who is worthy of our praise, that it really is you that we should bow down to and worship with our lives, that, O Lord, that we may not desire the glories of this world, O Lord, but that we may desire to please you, that we may be grateful to you for all that you have given us already, the salvation of our souls, O Lord. There is nothing more that we should desire from you, O Lord, but we should be grateful that our sins have been forgiven, that we will not stand in judgment, O Lord. So may you help us to understand this thing, that even though, O Lord, we may suffer in this world, that we may have lack in this world, O Lord, but that we may rejoice that we have peace with you. That we may rejoice that we will be with you forever and ever in heaven. O Lord, may you open our eyes that we may see this, that we may not be tempted, that we may not fall into this temptation that many are falling into, where they are chasing the blessings of this world to the detriment of their own souls. But, O Lord, may you help us to seek you first, to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. So we give you thanks and honor, O Lord, for speaking to us even this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us stand together and sing hymn number 82.